KPCA LP, Petaluma, California.
I like that. And I want to say right off the bat, if you were looking to hear Walker Stevens, the fitness trainer, this morning, he came down with a case of laryngitis and can't be here. So we have today with us Anne-Marie Rafferty, who is a neuro-emotional therapist. Good morning, Anne-Marie.
Good morning. We can do fitness for your brain.
I like that.
Fitness for our brain.
Yeah.
There you go. My brain needs some fitness.
Yeah. I told you it was going to be really interesting.
That's good.
So, anyway, good morning to you also. And we're going to go ahead with our banter, but we wanted to introduce Anne-Marie right off the bat so that she could weigh in on some of the stuff we're going to...
All right, thank you.
So, here we go.
I'm ready.
Happy New Year.
Happy 2020.
Year. Yep, this is our first,
New Year.
First show. It's our first show of 2020.
Yes, it is.
How was my New Year?
Yeah.
Too early to tell. We're just only 3 days into it.
That's
sorry.
Right.
You mean the New Year's celebration?
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And I keep hearing this 2020, and it makes me think of
Vision.
I'm going to age myself. No, Mad Dog 2020. Do you remember that?
No.
Mad Dog.
Logan David.
Logan David wine?
Yeah.
Oh.
2020.
Oh. Familiar.
Yikes. If you make Horosis, Mogan David
like
wine,
like
age is really good with that. But that's about it. Yeah. I guess you don't celebrate Passover. I think I've had the same bottle in the cupboard for many, many years, so it just gets more and more.
Is it like good wine? It gets finer with age?
Well, I'm not sure about that.
Did you drink anything on New Year's?
I did not.
No alcohol?
No. Just water.
Did you drink anything?
You're looking at me like I'm going to say no.
I'm just curious what everyone had.
I didn't have anything. How about you, Jason?
I had a bottle of Blanc de Blancs.
Blanc de Blancs.
It's the least costly bottle of sparkling wine you can get at Trader Joe's.
Oh,
it was ample.
Oh, well, I have a very far in the refrigerator, but I never took it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if I want to have some champagne, at least it's cold.
I like that French influence. So I did a Rotary.
Rotary.
Oh, that's a good one. Mm-hmm. Those cost money.
No. You buy a six-pack at Safeway.
A six-pack?
$15 a bottle. That is a steal.
Six-pack?
Go get you some.
Yeah, and over Christmas, they had a good sale, too. It was like 30% off and then another. So
who did?
Somebody else from the station cashed in on some awesome Safeway wine finds.
Huh. Yep.
So
I'm telling you,
yeah.
I'm not advertising for Safeway by any means. They are a union store, which is why I shop there.
That's interesting.
Well, you know, there has been an overall decline in alcohol use.
Oh, yeah?
So maybe these sales are trying to make up for it.
Well, yeah, I just can't stand when, if you want to get, like, this price, or normally it's $14.99,
yeah.
But if you want to get this price
buy more
for $11, then you have to buy, yeah, six bottles, and I'm thinking,
yeah.
that's some kind of add up to me.
Seems like that would encourage more consumption.
You would think so.
Yeah.
Now you have to be a Safeway club member. You have to be a Safeway club member.
It encourages even more consumption. Yeah. You don't get a discount unless you buy more.
Now, I've heard a good place to go for alcohol is Grocery Outlet. For wine.
Yeah. You don't know what you're buying. You have to be careful. So I found some really good Mazuco wine there years ago.
What do you mean be careful?
Like, well, because some of it isn't so great.
What'll happen?
You just buy it and you bring it home and you dump it out.
Yeah.
That's yeah.
So
it's not like it's spoiled or something.
No, it's not spoiled. It's just maybe not as yummy as other wines.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. Well, my flexibility with regards to taste has a direct correlation to how much money I have at the time. So
I had this bottle that I'd been saving for quite a few years, and we opened it up, and boy, it was a really good bottle.
Trader Joe's has a really good reserve.
Yeah, well, that's where I got
it. I want to say it was like a Merlot
the
reserve.
Blanc, the white of whites.
Well, I have to say, Trader Joe's wines are really good, and there's one there right now that I tasted last night. And it was pretty darn good.
So we're just one big liquor advertisement.
Exactly. We don't want that. I actually like to go to the liquor store on the corner of Lakeville and D Street.
Yeah, Willoughby's.
Yeah, they have great great selection.
Yeah. Willoughby's.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, they even have tastings there.
Yes, they do. On Thursdays, I think. I've been there twice.
Well, I gave my wife a bottle of some sort of a hemp liquid.
Oh.
Which is interesting. It's like a ginger ale kind of thing, but it's infused with hemp.
Where'd you get that at?
She hasn't tried it yet. Well, since I couldn't buy it in Petaluma, because we don't have dispensaries here, I had to go to Mercy Wellness.
Mercy Wellness.
Oh, so it's THC infused.
So, yes. Yeah, so, okay. Cotati got my tax revenue.
I know.
Well, Lagunitas makes something.
But
he's he's making hemp beer or
he is, but the law prevents companies that are dealing with alcohol from engaging in cannabis. So this is actually not a local issue. This is a California issue. So Lagunitas can only create the beverage portion of it, and then they have to send it to Sebastopol, where it's infused with cannabis.
From and then I was wondering, where is it being distributed to?
Yeah.
You must have listened to our show last week.
Sorry, I didn't.
But I was working.
But you can buy them at dispensaries.
We were imbibing in the High Five water from Lagunitas on air last weekend. Or last Friday.
And again, there's been some articles in the paper. There was an editorial from the Argus Courier suggesting that now really is the time for our council to move on allowing dispensaries in town. And, of course, there's an article as well, and this is yesterday's paper, about the budgets and the revenue issues in Petaluma. And so, legalize dispensaries, get us more revenue.
I didn't get to see that article on the budget.
So this is actually just a comprehensive article.
Might as well jump right in.
You might as well. I got my notes somewhere.
Yeah. So it's a busy year ahead for the Petaluma City Council. It outlines that the housing crisis, fiscal stability among big issues in the upcoming election year. And so the article is just going through where our budget is, the fact that we went through the reserve, and that we're in not so good fiscal shape. So the council's going to be considering some revenue enhancement measures, and of course among these are going to be approval of development for development impact fees, and of course a tax measure or more than one tax measure. But I'm simply saying that this time that we should have options on the table, such as cannabis dispensaries. Why not?
Especially since we know this is an election year, and the police and firefighters are going to have their hand out for more pay and better benefits.
Yeah, I don't. They always ask me for money. The police and fire.
Yes, they do.
And I don't give them money.
Me neither.
And the main reason is because I just haven't approved of their engagement in recent elections. So that's
exactly
my take on it.
I don't either.
I don't think public safety should be politicized in that way. And, so they don't get my money.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Last year when they did their endorsement process, they didn't have an endorsement process.
Yeah.
And so they just endorsed who they wanted to, who they planned on endorsing.
Yeah.
And so I talked with Officer Ryan McGreevy. I don't know what his title is. Sorry, Ryan. And, you know, he came over to my house and we talked about it. And I said, you know, you didn't invite people for an interview. And he kind of said, he goes, well, you know, as an example, Teresa Barrett, she has declined interviews in the past. And I told him, I said, well, you need to invite her anyway and let her decline.
Yeah.
Don't you decline for her.
Yeah.
Right. It's all perception.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they're way too political, in my opinion.
Yeah.
We already know who they're going to endorse. Yeah. And even the fire last year, they ended up endorsing four people when they were for three seats.
Yeah.
And so it's not where I like to follow.
Well, the other weird thing about it is most of them, I mean, this may sound, I want to check myself the way I say this, but just in terms of the reality, what I found back in the day, maybe it's changed a little bit, but when I was running, the overwhelming majority of these officers actually don't live in the city. So they engage in politics, and which is their right to do, but it's just a little frustrating in terms of some of the rhetoric that we've seen. I remember you were attacked, Janice.
Yes, I was.
And that was over a 9/11 situation.
Well, I've been attacked more than once with them on 9/11.
Yeah.
And also, there was a robocall.
Yeah.
And my mother got that robocall, and boy, did she raise holy hell.
Yeah.
She was so angry about how just horrible things that they said.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I've recently even wrote, actually, I was writing Officer Lyons about it.
Yeah.
And I always get Officer Lyons and our chief mixed up, and so I sent the email to the wrong person. But I would have said the same thing to either of them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and you just don't forget when you are attacked by the very people that you want to call in case of an emergency.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we're going to have to deal with that, but I think we need to understand that is what's going to happen.
Well, for me, the frustration comes from my history of being on the executive committee of the North Bay Labor Council, and that for many, many years we invited both the Police Association and Firefighters Associations, their unions, to join the Labor Council, because, as you know, when you're a union, unity is the big word, and they always refuse to even associate with the North Bay Labor Central Council. So
it's unfortunate because
they're in a world of their own.
They are in a world of their own.
Yes.
I think there are a lot of good officers out there,
but
I just think the organization itself,
the politics is
out of hand, and they're controlling what cities do.
Yep.
And I don't think that's a good thing. And it's really hard to want to go ahead and tax yourselves when you don't feel as though you get a fair shake. And actually, that's not a fair statement, a fair shake. When they just get too involved in politics because they know exactly how the budget is, they know how much money is in the budget. I think like 80% of the budget goes to public safety. And that's a heck of a chunk of money.
Yep.
And so,
okay. And again, we are not slamming
our
first responders. We appreciate everything they do. It's just the politics of the union.
Yeah, everybody has jobs, though, and all jobs are important. And I will say, I do have a problem when I say this person's a hero, and you know, what are the rest of the people doing? You know, with the city of Petaluma as an example, if your water doesn't turn on, that's a real problem. And there are workers that make sure that that happens. And there are all kinds of people that really make a community work. And it's not just one organization. And putting people on pedestals is not something I particularly care for.
Look at Jason, actually has a newspaper in his
hand. Yeah, this is a physical paper.
Yeah, I've never seen you with a paper in your hand.
Well, you know, they tightened up the security on the Petaluma 360 website.
Yes, they did.
I can't get on there for free anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I'll send you articles because I pay, so I can see what's going on. So
my paper, I got mine.
Well, mine is online, but I was looking at the paper, you know, the last week. And there was one headline, Climate Development Top Petaluma News in 2019. And, you know, it's an important article to read. But it's, and then there was, what's the other, or, well, I'm just reading the article and about what council members are, you know, are saying, you know, especially ones that are running for council are saying different things, the ones that aren't having to run this time. And it just seems like there is just kind of a, they're just scattered.
Yeah.
There is no continuity with the council on what should be a priority.
Well, this is kind of an interesting quote. For Councilwoman Kathy Miller, building affordable housing and obtaining funding for the Rainier Crosstown Connector place at the top of her list alongside combating the effects of climate change and encouraging sustainable transportation options that's in the city. So that's kind of strange because on one hand...
Building a floodplain while we wait for
rise.
Well, speaking of building, well, there's actually some other quotes in that article, and I'm not going to get into them because I didn't write them down, but I just thought they just didn't seem to have a cohesive message. And so if you don't have a cohesive message at this point, you kind of put your red flags up. But going back to flooding, the city did not get on the list for dredging the river.
Yeah.
And I know people are upset about that. But I just, you know, it's interesting because the city of Petaluma, when you're reading about who got money and who didn't, so Napa ended up getting money because Napa is going to be looking at their watershed, the bigger picture. Mm-hmm. And so that's what their money is going to be going toward.
Mm-hmm.
Petaluma's is to dredge the river.
Mm-hmm.
And so pleasure boats can come up here.
Mm.
So the D Street Bridge can go up at, you know, when, depending on the tide, you know, when boats come in or time of day. So the D Street Bridge is going to go up at least 30 minutes of stalling while the brigade of boats come up. I do not believe they bring in millions of dollars of revenue.
No.
And they are continuing wanting to build upstream of the flood control project where the Corps of Engineers in the document said, you build upstream of the flood control projects, you're going to have more downstream flooding.
Right.
This is why Petaluma did not get on the list, because they're not managing their watershed. That's my opinion on it.
Yeah.
So
it could have been that the argument had to do with commercial tonnage commerce that we don't have on the river.
No, that's very true.
But I've been saying for quite a while, why aren't we looking at the flooding issues as a rationale? Because ultimately, if we don't dredge the river, it's going to flood.
I don't think so. I have a different opinion on that.
Yeah. Really?
I do not think it is, because I really believe you're going to have a channel that's going to be going out. Because water does that. They channelize. And if you go down by the river, you will see where the silting is happening, but there's channelization of the water flowing out. I do think that it is a good... I'm not against dredging.
I'm not sure you're correct, actually. If the silt builds up, the water... I mean, it's a tidal slough.
Mm-hmm.
We already know that we have a water rising happening due to climate change.
Right.
You couple that with silt, the water only has one other place to go, and that's up onto the land. So the turning basin, if you look at it now, it's, you know, there's like a little island in there. You can go in with small kayaks and things like that.
There was a large boat in there last week. I took a picture
of
it to make sure
not with a keel. So, yes, yeah, so you can get some power boats that have flat bottoms.
This was a big boat.
Well,
this
with
was
a
not.
Keel? I mean, it's like sailboats have keels.
Well, it's not a sailboat. It was a pleasure boat, but it was a nice one.
The point being is that the silt is building up, and ultimately that combined with what you're talking about in terms of development, both of those things can give us a double whammy, whereby it would seem that a flooding concern would be a good rationale to get funding for this through FEMA or something. But,
If the city continues to build upstream,
yeah.
And the Corps of Engineers documents state, the more upstream development,
right.
The more flooding downstream, it
right.
Doesn't matter how much dredging you're going to be doing.
Right.
So there is talk about that they're going to be dredging just the basin and the marina.
Mm-hmm.
And that's at a cost of maybe $1.7 million. Mm-hmm. And for a city that is in financial problems, I'm wondering where they're going to come up with the $1.7 million.
And let's do a new tax.
Well, that's what they're doing. that's what it is. No, but yep. They are looking at doing a tax to dredge the river. Yeah. And but I will tell you, the house in the street in front of my house is so alligatored, it needs to be redone. And I think that that is my first priority at this point. Yeah. Not just the street in front of my house, but yours, yours, and yours also. And, you know, and then the other thing is, you know, the city is not managing traffic at all. And I don't want to blame it on the 101. But I'll tell you, there's over 200 trucks, huge trucks, going up McDowell, getting off of Washington Street, going to the post office. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly why Caltrans always supported Corona as a full interchange crosstown connector, because that's where all the big trucks are going. So now they're destroying our local roads. And guess who they want? The city wants to pay for that. They want to tax us. I want those huge trucks to start paying, mm-hmm. or either get some management. And there's some simple things that can be done that I am going to be talking with someone at the city and seeing if maybe some simple traffic changes, such as left-hand turns, right-hand turns, can be changed. So we don't have as much traffic backing up in areas on our town, but traffic is always going to be bad, and that kind of goes back into SMART.
Yeah, it's funny. I was just going to go for that segue.
Exactly.
So, yeah, so the numbers on SMART have been released on the ridership. And in year one, there were a total of 721,790 riders. Year two, there were 706,188, slight dip. And then year three, which they're actually only counting as 3 months, September, October, November, is 201,052. And they've got numbers for bicyclists. In year one, there were 66,795, and the bicycles increased. That went to 69,694 in the second year. Want to guess what the busiest day of the week is?
Saturday.
Oddly enough, it's Wednesday. I'm not
really sure
why. With an average of 2,452 passengers.
Maybe more people are working at home, and then they have to go into their job.
Maybe a midweek is their thing. I don't know.
Right. You know, I think it's so important for people to realize that this is new SMART.
Yeah.
And you know, for me, I mean, I'm getting old, and I'm really looking at the younger generation, what they're going to be doing in 5, 10, 15, 20 years. You know, I'll be dead in 20 years.
Yeah.
And you know, I want to leave something for a younger generation, and I really think alternative transportation is it. It's interesting because some people say, let's go ahead and scrap it and just do a bus system. And I don't really think you should be scrapping something of this importance because we're
putting more wheels on the road.
We're really looking into the future.
Yeah.
And at one time, people thought we needed to get rid of the tracks and make those into bus lanes only, the existing tracks. Well, that's what happened in Sonoma County. The tracks going to Sebastopol were taken out. The tracks going out to the coast were taken out. And if those tracks had not taken out, you would have had a really great system to getting around. And so we need to remember, sometimes we need to just have patience, and it takes time. But when SMART was approved, it was known that that quarter cent was not going to be sufficient. Yeah. And then the economy dropped, and then the costs go up. But the costs went up for everything. It wasn't just SMART. And so I think it would not be smart to not vote to extend that tax, because it's really about the future. It's not about me and my age group.
No, I confess I have not used SMART.
It's fun.
And I know I've said this a few times on the show. I still haven't done it. I was going to try to do it over the weekend, and other things came up.
Why don't we do it as a field trip?
That would be very cool, but my daughter uses it all the time.
Oh, really?
And she doesn't want to buy a car because she doesn't want to contribute to fossil fuel use in that way. And so she's very adamant about trying to use public transportation, but she's not alone. I think a lot of
younger people
are not as attached to this whole, you know, I got to have my car and go wherever I want all the time. So she's going to be going to the junior college, and she's planning to take the SMART train. And she's saving up for potentially getting an EV at some point, but it's not an immediate priority for her. So I think that's, I don't see that just in my daughter. I see that in a lot of younger people that are taking the climate change issues more seriously than the adults. And it's good they need to, because we certainly failed them. Yeah.
Well, one of my granddaughters turned 16, and they live in Davis. And she rides her bike, you know, to school. She's a swimmer, so she rides it to swimming, but a lot of times her parents drive her because it's super early in the morning or late at night. But I asked about a car or a driver's license. She's just not even interested and doesn't really have a need for it. And so that's a community that really built bike and walking trails. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Petaluma, we're a little not quite there, but we're going to get there. We just have to have time. And the younger generation is the one that really gets it. So I have to listen.
I was at a social event before Christmas, and there were quite a few people there from Marin, and they said they regularly take the SMART train up here, spend the day, you know, enjoy, and then they go home that night.
Right.
Yeah. And for the longest time, I think parts of Marin weren't on board with that, and I was just kind of standing back, and I was in awe thinking, oh, you know, Marin's benefits. You know, not just ours. Right. And it was neat to hear that they love coming up here for the day. They bring their family. They spend the night at, you know, Petaluma Hotel. Mm-hmm. It's bringing revenue to our city.
I agree.
I liked hearing that. I was like, that's...
I was at a party recently down in Marin, and they were talking about, I mean, they're older than us. I mean, this group is in probably 75 and above, and they're really getting into the SMART train and coming up to Petaluma. They like to come. But I don't think people realize that we really need to get every station on board.
Yeah.
We need the Petaluma station done. We need to get all the way up to Cloverdale, Healdsburg. And once those stations are in,
Oh my gosh, we could all be going up to Healdsburg, a wine tasting, have a nice day, and you know, you come back, you don't have to worry about the car and driving and traffic.
Exactly.
You know, just sit back and relax.
Well, and given we're in wine country and craft beer land, it's a great alternative. So drunk drivers off the road.
Well, in the other direction, go to Larkspur, catch the ferry,
a
baseball game.
Opera or, anything.
I drink wine at home.
Yeah.
And you do what?
Drink all my wine at home.
And if you do that, you save on parking, because the parking at these places, I went and saw The Who at
Unless
the
you go to a
Chase Center.
Resort.
And I think we paid $30 or something like that for parking.
I just paid $40.
So, what would the math be? If you're leaving from Petaluma, you've got to take the SMART rail. What is it, $12?
Well, let's get over the bridge and gas.
So you're still going to, it's probably a savings when you calculate the
parking. But is it really about a savings or is it about convenience, too? I mean, it's a combination.
Well,
yeah.
It's more convenient to get in a car and drive, in a way, unless the traffic is an issue. I don't know. It depends on how you think of things.
I think it's an experience.
Exactly.
You know, if you're going out for a relaxing meal and an evening and an event and you know, you just get to just sit back and just take it all in.
Right.
Yeah.
You're not crazed and you're not about, you know, what time is it? When am I going to get there?
Yeah.
I think, you know, that's what you're going for.
But the economic case, I think, is a good one also because, you know, a lot of times people do think that way. It's like, what's going to cost more? Because it's also, it does take time. You know, if there's traffic with SMART, obviously you avoid it. But you do have to stop at the stations. You then have to transfer to Larkspur. So I hear that argument from some people. Yeah, it takes a lot of time and it costs me money. Well, if you think about it, though.
Well, let's go back to the money.
Plus, the money, though. Well, it's $7.50, right?
To
cross the bridge. Is that what it is now? $7.50?
$8? Oh, it might be more than that.
Depends on what day and what time.
So there's that. And then, if you're going to a game, the parking's going to be easily $30, maybe more. Gas, you know, maybe $5 or $6.
Well, plus you probably had a few beers at the park, and you don't need to be driving
home. That, I think, is the bigger thing.
It's factoring your DUI.
Exactly.
I know.
So, I mean, it's just as long as they run late enough. Like, if I were going to go see a concert or something, I don't know if I'd be able to get back.
But I think that's with time, and that's what people don't realize is that the schedule is actually going to be flexible. The distance is going to be better. But, you know, earlier on we were talking about the city wants to bring in revenue.
Yeah.
Well, I assure you, the SMART train is going to be bring more people to come and eat in our town, buy, you know, there's a lot of people from Marin County that actually come up and go on Kentucky Street to some of the, and on the boulevard to some of the clothing stores.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I was there yesterday with the people from Marin that came up for that, and they would like to take the train up. And so I believe that the train will bring in more revenue than a boat will ever bring into this town.
I agree.
Yeah. I also sometimes think we tend to do this. We've kind of been trained, I think, to talk about, you know, the revenue we're going to get from a specific project and things. There's also this whole idea of just something to do for the common good. The fact that we have people benefiting from this rail system that can't afford cars, that are for whatever reason not interested in buying a car, maybe because they want to do their part for climate change.
Or cost. Insurance.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't... When I hear voters say, well, I never use it, therefore I'm not going to buy it, well, there's a lot of things in life that we support. I mean, I haven't had my house catch on fire ever, but I contribute to public safety so that if it ever happens, I'll be taken care of. And I think we just have to have more of that attitude. And call it what you want, if you want to call it socialism or whatever, but I just think it's a sense of the commons, you know, common good.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't know. you know, I think what it is when I'm reading these articles in the Press Democrat, I'm glad they got numbers.
Yeah.
But their numbers, there was still a margin of error within the numbers. And then we're having reduced people using services with BART and the Bay Area transits. And so I'm wondering why that's happening. Are more people staying home and working at home? I mean, there's reasons for this to happen.
Yeah.
But people are still going to be using these public facilities to get from place to place. And we have to look into the future, and that's it. And I just really don't like the newspapers, always the negative part. I want to hear the positive part. I was reading something that somebody was writing, and there was like one sentence that was really negative. And if you just take it out, it just made the whole letter completely different.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm switching gears.
Okay.
You're switching
gears. Left or right?
Yeah.
Reverse?
Yeah. Well, we've got Amory Lafferty here.
Oh, that's right.
We want to talk about her, Amory Lafferty. And by the way, you're listening to Inside Petaluma here on KPCA 103.3 FM.
And no relation.
We also stream, if you didn't know, we also stream on the internet, KPCA.fm. Yes. All right, so you can go online and do that. Amory Lafferty is a neuro-emotional therapist, and she is also an employee here of Petaluma Community Access.
Yes, so, happy to be part of the crew.
Yeah.
Officially.
We sit in the studio and look through the glass and see her sitting at her desk every Friday.
I do.
Yeah.
I have
and
perfect
what do you do here at PCA?
I am Access Assistant Supervisor, and so I oversee the televised events, civic events for City of Petaluma, City of Cotati, and Rona Park.
Okay. And those would be the city council meetings and
exactly,
city board
yes.
meetings.
City council, anything that is being streamed out on Comcast government channels for our for our three cities. So we have college students, and very proud to say that we also have a high school student that are televising these events for you, so they're learning the audio-visual part of television and filming, and so managing all those people, and they get college credit and high school credit for those that are interested in media and communication. So
just good thing.
Bringing the next new generations into this field, give them some hands-on experience.
And we're providing community service.
And, you know, we're here as, you know, supporting community. Community can come in here and use our facilities. Myself and our operations manager, Jeff, we are here to train you on everything that you are even curious or interested about. So we have another studio where college students do their podcasts, and they take that experience out into the world and get jobs with it. And, yeah.
Do we have a podcast, like, for KPCA 103.3 FM? That you can check out? I mean, how would you tell?
Well, those then, the podcasts are then put into programming. So I know there was one, Let's Get Digital, with Mia McMath. She was a college intern and did time here. And her shows were put into the weekly programming. And, yeah, so there would be streaming as well.
But if I want to sign up for a podcast, you know, like I have a podcast.
Right? It's based on the show. So, for example, Inside Petaluma, we're not currently doing a podcast. We just have a website where people can stream or download the shows. But other programmers have actually done that. Something I've actually been thinking
about. Yeah, we have a volunteer here at the station. He does a weekly podcast where he comes in and uses the other studio and then it's put into programming and then it airs. Yeah. So,
And so the advantage of that is if someone subscribes, it automatically gets into their player feed.
Right.
Instead of not doing that, where you'd actually have to manually go to our website or respond to an email that we send. That's kind of the beauty of podcasting. Once you subscribe, the shows just come in and you're always updated with them automatically. So
it seems like, you guys do streaming at home? I don't have
everything.
Well, it seems like there's just been a real glitch in the last weeks.
What do you mean?
I go to watch my shows that, you know, I get YouTube.
Yeah.
So I go and I have my shows that I like to watch, certain news channels or Colbert,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden I can't get them.
What do you mean? Like
it's like December something will come up instead of today's or tonight's show.
Hmm.
And somebody else was saying they were having the same problem. And so something's shifted. And now they're trying to buy, you have to buy the Disney Channel. You have to subscribe and purchase monthly subscriptions.
Yeah, that's what's happening with a lot of the
channels. I think if they reach a certain number of viewers, I've heard, it will change. And also if people are monetizing, too. It goes directly with subscriptions and ads. But once you hit a level of viewers, I think things do change.
Yeah.
But then you should still be able to
it. I thought it was something different than that. Yeah. I thought there was this changing because of economics for the corporation.
Well, I don't know in your specific case, but that certainly can be the case.
Yeah. I thought you would know about that.
Not yet. Anne-Marie is, like I said, a neuro-emotional therapist. And why don't you tell us, Anne-Marie, what exactly that is?
What that is looking at subconscious patterns that hold people back or just things that people get stuck in. And I was at an event in December. I was at Dare to Shine with Krista Goronski. And we had this circle of what we want to bring in, or if we could describe this coming year in a word, what would it be? So there was, 16, 20 of us. And so my word is joy. Just being in joy, just defining joy. And to me, that is just an ultimate expression of just freedom. I have freedom of time, have financial freedom, just be able just to be in a space where I just feel fulfilled and happy. I'm not looking necessarily outside of myself for all those things, but just checking in with myself and just, you know, where am I at? You know, am I in a good mood today? Am I going to be, you know, snappy at somebody? But recognizing those patterns and the why behind them is my big thing. And I can move those things out for people. And I know we talked about that a little bit last time I was here. But Saturday I'm doing an event called New Year, New You. And that is at the Luminary Education Center here in town. And that's the front side of Petaluma Dental Group. And Dr. Mangrum has a great room there. So some things that I'm going to be doing with the group, we're going to open with a Kai Lego. And that's a goopy word made up by Kyle Cease. But that's where you jump up. Hopefully you go to a stranger. Some of you don't know. And you're just going to talk for a couple minutes of what do you want. Pick one goal or just one thing that you want to bring in. And you're going to talk 3 to 5 minutes to someone who's just listening. They're not responding. But how are you going to reach that goal or that thing? Just what is it? And you just kind of just ramble. And it forces you to come up with solutions or creative things that maybe you would not have thought of before. And the gift is you're doing it kind of under the gun, and you're doing it with somebody who's not judging you. You're just spewing ideas. You know, maybe, you know, I'll write a book, or I'll do this, and I'll do that. But the gift is you may actually come up with a nugget or two you didn't think of before. And then you expand on that. So that's one of the things. Another thing, is giving ourselves permission. A lot of times we think we have to be a certain way or a certain somebody, but it's pretty freeing when you give yourself permission to step out of that comfort zone, be somebody else who you never thought you would be. And there's an exercise of giving ourselves permission. Another thing is, are you a giver or a taker? So, again, when things get out of balance, if you give, but, you know, where is that great relationship or where is that money? What happens is when you deplete and you give everything away, you can't create, you can't receive back. So we're going to balance that give, take out. Another one is, are you living your dream or living your fear? So there's going to be some just spots where we're just going to take and check, do a self-check, and reverse some of these things. Letting go of the old story. Why it feels like death, but it's actually a death to the old part of ourself. We think that we're going to lose something, but we really don't see the sight of what we're going to gain. And opening ourselves into actually what we gain. And again, yeah, I think a lot of times we are definitely living our greatest fears. Sharing some self-care examples. This one I love. I do it in my small groups all the time. It's called Shaking and Dancing. And it is a specific kind of an Osho meditation, but it's to a song. And this is done standing up. And you just shake the whole body. You're like a rag doll or a puppet. Imagine there's strings at your elbows. And you're just letting all the joints just free up. But what you can do is, when you're doing this, is you can attach a thought or an intention. Say, I'm just going to let it go of, you know, all the heaviness from 2019. Anything that you're feeling, just say, I just let go. But it's the science of the music and the brain and the body letting go. It is absolutely amazing. And then, or you can also bring in what you want more of. So you can shake and say, I just shake to bring in more joy. And stay in that thought process for a couple minutes. And then, so you shake, you pause for about a minute, and then you go into dancing. And then again, it's that movement, and then the song is scientifically designed then to also interact with the brain. So it's fun, it's hands-on, it's interactive. That's where I think the most work comes from, is when you're a participant. You're not just sitting back and you're listening and taking notes. Things don't happen that way. But when you participate, you feel, we get things moving, that's when things get really fun and people just let go.
I'm on your LinkedIn page here, and I see that you were a celebrity concierge therapist.
Yeah.
So you worked with celebrities?
I have worked with celebrities. I have been on call 24/7. I still do that. Uh-huh. Where
can you name any of them?
Or I cannot.
Like, oh, you can't divulge?
No, I cannot.
Any movies we might have seen them in? Or
yes.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. And you know what? I was just talking about this last night with a friend of mine. Celebrities are probably a community that works so hard to have everything and is perfect and viewed as such, you know, an idol or a something, and they really need the most support.
Really?
Money,
not
happiness,
like a post-traumatic stress disorder
fame.
Person from a war or something?
Maybe they do.
It's hard because they're viewed as having it all. How can they have it all and still be so miserable? And some of the very poorest people are also some of the very happiest.
Mm-hmm.
Some that strive and I wish I had and this are sometimes actually healthier than the celebrity that has it all. And money no. doesn't buy happiness and money does not buy peace.
But you do also work with post-traumatic stress people. So have you had people that have come back from, for example, the Iraq war and are suffering from shock?
Absolutely.
Yeah, that must be terrible. And how do you get through it with these people? How does your technique help them?
There's a lot of different techniques I use. I would say the biggest thing is them accepting that there's something bigger going on with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
that acceptance and the awareness, I think, is the scariest thing. Once they are aware of it and they actually accept it, that's the first big block to get past. Once they see it and they know what it is, then they can surrender to it, and then we can get to work. And then there's
a lot of order when you've been in the war.
Lots of tools, and just being okay where you're at, and not beating yourself up about it, is just embrace that part of you saying, "Yep, it's here, it's real, it hurts, it stinks, but okay." So now let's it's like, okay, it's here, and there's also a part of thanks in there, is when you're actually thankful. Mm-hmm. Instead of fighting it and berating yourself about it, just saying, just sit in thanks for it. Say, okay, all right, and just get real with it. But also know that you're not stuck. You don't have it forever. There's things that we can do.
I see you wrote a book, 8 Steps to Uncovering Who You Really Are, and that came out in May of 2018.
Yeah.
And where might we find this book?
That's an ebook on Amazon.
Oh, great.
So it's just something you can just click on. And, that was, I found myself giving my clients the same tools over and over and over again. Uh-huh. I would give them this little card and I'd write it out. And I just figured, well, I just may as just put this in one place and I just send people to it.
Cool.
Just say, okay, you know, here's the 8 tools. And one part of that is the water project, where they did water and music or water and emotions. And what happens is when you leave water and you freeze it, but it's infused with the word hate. Mm. It's scattered. It's messy. It's blurry. But yet when you freeze water, which is then infused with the vibrations of love, peace, and joy, they are perfect crystalline structures. You can actually see the border. And it looks like, you know, the most perfect snowflake.
You say the vibrations of, are you talking about the words? Or
right. Words, frequencies. They're also freezing water with music. And like water frozen to, say, Metallica versus water frozen to John Lennon. Yeah. Look like very two different things. And that is the basis for our body, is we're mostly water. Mm-hmm. And then what is your surroundings? How are you treating that vessel? Is a direct correlation then with health, wellness, brain.
Does it work with other languages besides English?
Right now it's just available in English.
I meant the technique. So if you say the word love and it does something with the ice versus hate, does that also correspond to the same word in Japanese?
I believe so. And it was Dr. Ito's work. And he did. He did it in several other languages, and they had the same results.
Hmm.
Yeah, and again, it's what the water environment that water is put into. And then his study then is when you put humans into those same environments under, you know, similar conditions.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there's a couple pictures I included in there of the water and how it froze under those circumstances.
Right. Now, I don't want to run out of time before we talk about some of the other things in your past and what you do now. In your past, you have been in the healthcare industry.
I did. I was 30 years in clinical healthcare, so I was 25 years registered dental assistant in pediatrics for Dr. Marty Steigner here in town. I was 18 years a scrub nurse at Pelma Valley Hospital and 15 years Sonoma County EMT. And I was on the ambulance about a year and a half. But I kept up my EMT certification because I was also clinical supervisor down at a clinic in Marin. So,
if anyone needs CPR.
I was going to say, if something happens, this is the woman I want to be with.
Yeah, let's just make sure we air during her shift.
Yeah, right, exactly.
And then you also have a show here.
I do.
And?
Yes, so I am the Healing Within Show. I am every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., so I'm going to be coming up here in just a little bit. And then I also spun off a TV series off the radio show. So I am also the Healing Within Show on Comcast Cable Channel 26. And I have, I think, 4 to 6 episodes up there right now, and really excited. The station, we just received a grant to do a documentary here based in Petaluma on agriculture. Agriculture through the history of Petaluma, and putting the team together for that, the project. We have a year to complete this documentary, and the focus is also youth, youth interviewing agriculture, and so we're going to be going out and filming and working on this documentary for the next year. So really excited.
Fun. Speaking of that, in the art in the paper today, it was about, oh my goodness, who was the couple? Because I know them. Our Jacobsons, Arlene and Walt Jacobson. And they are Agland Preserved. And they lived on Chapman Lane. And my mom was actually born in the house where Little Hill's Christmas Tree Farm is.
Oh.
And Walt Jacobson, they were her neighbors. And they might have gone to school together also, you know, trekking through their field to get to the school over on Western Avenue. And so I thought it was really a nice article, you know, talking about, you know, agriculture of the past and wanting to preserve the land.
Yeah, we're just now looking into, you know, what all these components are and complete 20 to 40 interviews with, you know, people that have had farms and ranches through generations in Petaluma. And
what's been going on right here?
Absolutely.
That's true.
Yeah, that is true. Actually, yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Go way back.
Yeah, way
back
Stornetta
from early 1900s.
Yeah, what year?
Well, my grandfather came here and they had a tallow plant. And so they they like the dead animals. And then my dad started the chicken ranch in 1958, I believe, bought the property.
Wow.
Lived on Weaverly Drive. And then, and now it's houses, unfortunately.
You're a real local.
I'm a real local.
Well, I remember my mom local. Would drive out to Cater Farms every week to buy the eggs.
Buy eggs, and then we had really good fried chicken, too.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I remember
I
that.
Know. That was good. And then, you know, actually, my dad was ahead of his time because he ground up dog food and put it in these chunks through these squares, and we sold dog food.
Oh, wow.
I now pressure cook my dog's food. We never buy food for her. And so he was way ahead of his time. He just didn't put sweet potatoes in like I do. But, there's a lot of history here. But what is the grant actually? It's specifically for agriculture?
Yes. It is a piece, pretty much the agricultural history through generations here in Petaluma. And we will start... you know, looking up who are those families that go way, way back, and then how agriculture and business has changed then into present day. And the component is youth. So youth will be conducting these interviews. Youth will be on cameras. And we're still going through, it's about an 8-9-page document, and we were just scanning this morning, just pulling out these bits and pieces. But it looks really exciting, and again, that's who we are. You know, at the heart of Petaluma.
Well, because there were a lot of groups. I mean, there were, you know, Scandinavians, Italians, you know, the Jewish farmers.
Mm-hmm.
Portuguese. It's a huge group of people. And it would be great just to hear from all, like, the different nationalities, how they got here, why they got into farming, where we are today. You know,
absolutely.
And with the families, because I've actually connected with a young man whose parents have a farm. I'm not sure what kind of a farm it is because I'm just starting to ask questions. And, you know, so I'm kind of interested in, you know, what was his life? And he's probably in his 30s, you know, late 30s, you know, compared to me in my mid-60s.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
is this going to be a full-length film? Is it,
will.
1 hour?
Well, that's what we're still looking through. Yeah. I just got the document this morning, but it will be a several-hour long.
It'll be a feature length.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, there was a group of women that actually, there was a group of us that would go up to Conocti every year, and we called ourselves children of Jewish chicken ranchers or something. And so we meet up at Conocti, and then these women from Berkeley came, and they actually did a video and interviewed all different people in the Jewish community about
farming in Petaluma. And it was really interesting. And it's been played on, I think, PBS. Mm. And I'll try and get you a copy
of it.
That'd
be great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's that time, so I want to thank Anne-Marie for stepping in today on such short notice. It's always a pleasure to have you here and in the station. You're a lot of fun to work around. And, again, do you have a website?
I do. The website is www.healingwithin.us.
Okay. So go check it out, people.
Oh, and the event Saturday is on Eventbrite. So eventbrite.com, New Year, New You. This Saturday, January 4th.
What are the hours?
It is from noon to 3 p.m., so 3 hours.
Is there a phone number that somebody needs to call? Because it's at 1301 South Point.
My personal number, if you're interested, is 707-364-9019.
Perfect.
That's great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, what a
great start
to the year. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
And you've been listening to Inside Petaluma with myself, Cindy Thomas, Janice Peter Thompson, and Jason Davies, and our guest today, Anne-Marie Lafferty. And we will be back next Friday from 11 to noon.
Who's our guest?
And our guest next week will be Dave Alden. So...
More on that.
The details at KPCA Inside Petaluma on Facebook. Or our website, insidepetaluma.com.
See you next week.
Is that it?
Yeah.
I think we did good.
I think so too.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year 2020.
Over and out. You're listening to KPCA 103.3 FM.